Well, how would you feel if you only got paid half of what you're owed for the work you'd done? And that's the option now facing intellectually disabled workers employed at Australian Disability Enterprises, or ADEs. Late yesterday, the Senate passed a government scheme that would restore half these people's back pay as long as they waive their rights to sue. This scheme follows a federal court decision over the way those wages were calculated with what's known as the BSWAT, or the Business Services Wage Assessment Tool. The court ruled it was discriminatory. That ruling also sparked a class action to sue for lost wages. But it has also created an ideological divide between parents. Jane Shields reports.
I'm very pleased to hear that the government bill has been passed.
Patricia McKenzie's 27-year-old daughter Kate has Down syndrome. She's employed in a disability enterprise in Sydney.
Kate does process work, and she particularly enjoys putting together the baby products sampling that she works on because she loves the thought that little babies get to benefit from that. And she loves the wax products that she puts together. And there are quite a number of jobs which she really enjoys doing.
What does she like about working? I understand she had some criteria for what a job should be before she started work.
She wanted to work somewhere where she had friends. She wanted to work somewhere where they would play music all day, because she'll tell you that a girl can't be expected to get through the day without a little ABBA. And she wanted to learn the job and then be able to keep doing it. Because although you and I might see process work as boring and repetitive, Kate actually sees an achievement in doing that work.
Kate earns $114 a fortnight and works 5 days a week from 9 till 4.
She is able to pay for everything that she needs to pay for to support herself. Mostly, obviously, as parents we help out with many things, but she is able to make ends meet pretty well with what she has.
The federal government provides financial support to ADEs to operate, and there's concern that if wages are increased too much, the businesses may close. Patricia McKenzie says employment brings a quality of life for Kate.
Obviously, it would be great if everybody who has a disability was paid in the same sort of wages that the rest of the workforce gets. But the fact is that it costs a lot of money to be able to support people with disabilities like Kate's into the workforce. And so the ADEs can barely break even as it is. And the money to Kate is nowhere near as important as the dignity of her work. And her ability to be able to come home with a paycheck is far more important to her than the quantum of that paycheck.
What's your response to those sorts of arguments that, in fact, this is really about wage justice?
There has to be a balance, I think, between wage justice, which is a given, it's a motherhood statement, and keeping people employed. And if the outcome of increased wages is that people like Kate can no longer be maintained in an employment situation, then that's a really bad outcome. The ability to work and the pride of being able to work and the pride in herself that Kate and her friends get is the more important factor.
Not all parents share this view. For others, like Liz Nogin, the wages paid are critical. Her son Michael has cerebral palsy and is now in his late 40s.
To see your son go for year in and year out for 25 years in sheltered employment, starting from nothing as an activity therapy centre, which is really pathetic, to take 24 years to get to $1.85 an hour is a heartbreaking thing to watch. You know, my son needs holidays, he needs clothes, he needs all the things and wants all the things that other young people have at his age, and hasn't been able to afford them and doesn't understand why. In his view, he has a job. He's working, he has a job. So why can't he have the things that other people have jobs for?
Liz Nogin was the driving force behind the current campaign against the BSWAT. She took her son Michael's case to the federal court.
I never ever imagined, and that was never the plan, to get money for Michael, that we had to sue in order to, you know, try and have something done. I mean, Michael certainly doesn't have any money, and any money that he gets would be most helpful, but it was never, never ever about money. It was about getting the bastards that have been screwing him for years and years and years.
At issue is the way the wages are calculated. Kirsty Wilson is Senior Legal Manager with AED Legal Centre, a community legal centre supporting people with disabilities. She says the assessment tool, the BSWAT, includes unfair competency tests.
one question was, what meetings does your boss go to? Now, how many of us know what meetings our boss goes to? So it's not relevant what meetings your boss go to, whether you're packing the right number of muesli bars into the box, is it? And the other thing with the B-SWOT was that if you got one wrong, you got the whole section wrong. So many of them ended up with zero for competency. So if they were 50% productive, zero for competency, they'd end up with 25% of the wage.
The federal opposition had argued for eligible workers to be repaid half of what they are owed now, but also to be able to pursue legal action. That was not supported in the Senate's bill. Kirsty Wilson is disappointed with the offer.
Well, can I ask you, would you accept 50% of what you're owed? I wouldn't, and I don't see why they should. And effectively, these workers have been discriminated against since this tool was introduced in 2004. I don't believe anybody would accept that if that was them. But also, is this because they don't have a voice for themselves? And yes, we've been called do-gooders and that we don't really know what we're talking about. Well, I've been working on this issue since 2002. And I believe wholeheartedly that if this was my daughter or my child, I would not be tolerating it. I think it's a black day for Australia. It's a hang our heads in shame that we're allowing this to happen. And maybe that sounds melodramatic, but, you know, that's how I feel now. It's disheartening when there are so many people who have recognised the importance of this, and yet it's being used as a political football, effectively.
Mother of 48-year-old Michael, Liz Nogens, says she suspected that the bill would pass.
Well, I feel quite disappointed, but I could see the writing on the wall. It was very close. There are certain people who are very determined to not see this happen, so there'd have been a whole lot of lobbying. I don't think the outcome eventually would have been anything other than what it was, unfortunately. I just think it's pretty sad for people who have put their sons and daughters into workshops at the age of 18, 19, 20, with not a great, at this point in time, not a great future ahead of them. So they certainly need to have a few fighters amongst them.
Not all parents want to fight. Patricia McKenzie is among a group of parents who are worried higher wages could jeopardise their children's employment.
I think that the people seeking higher wages are doing that with the right motives. But if the outcome of that is that people who are employed in ADEs are no longer offered a position, then that is a terrible outcome. And so we have to look at a program which keeps everyone who wants to work and wants to work in that setting employed in that setting.
That's Patricia Kenzie, mother of Kate, and that report by Jane Shields is a story that will keep moving, I think.